Good morning. Up here with me today are the Superintendent of the Maryland State Police, Colonel Jerry Jones, Chief Mike Wilson of the Maryland Capitol Police, Chief Kevin Anderson of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police, and Glenn Fuston, the Executive Director of the Governor's Office of Crime Prevention, Youth, and Victim Services. We're also proud to be joined today by police chiefs and sheriffs and law enforcement leaders from all across the state. This is an especially challenging time for members of law enforcement in our state and in our nation. And sadly, the unconscionable actions of a few have been used to demean and question the character of all law enforcement officers and to fuel an all-out assault on the entire law enforcement community. Last year, when the Defund the Police movement started gaining momentum, I was one of the first leaders in America to speak out loudly against it and to completely reject the idea. Let me reiterate what I've been saying for more than a year. Trying to reduce crime by defunding police is dangerous, radical, far-left lunacy. Thinking that you can improve law enforcement by defunding the police is like saying that you want to improve education by defunding the schools. It's absurd and ridiculous. Just last week, a Baltimore City councilman actually called for abolishing the police department. Violent crime is out of control in Baltimore City. They're on pace to surpass 300 homicides again this year. The Baltimore Police Department is short-staffed by more than 300 officers. The city of Baltimore is a poster child for the basic failure to stop lawlessness. There's a prosecutor who refuses to prosecute crime, and there's a revolving door of repeat offenders who are being let right back onto the streets to shoot people again and again. All of this has had a chilling effect on effective policing and on the willingness of victims and witnesses to come forward. Residents and community leaders are completely fed up, and they're pleading with the city's elected leaders to take action. Homicides are surging across the country. There are violent crime waves in nearly every major city. Law enforcement agencies nationwide are struggling to attract qualified candidates, and many current officers are retiring early or simply choosing to quit. You could not possibly have a worse time for anyone to be calling to defund the police or for cutting funding for public safety. The reality is that our police are underfunded and under attack. To reverse the tide of rising crime, we need to stop demonizing and sabotaging the dedicated men and women who risked their lives every single day to keep the rest of us safe. Enough is enough. We cannot defund the police. We need to refund the police. Instead of less funding, we need more investment in public safety so that we can recruit and retain quality officers, so that we can increase diversity, so that we can expand community policing programs, so that we can teach better de-escalation techniques and improve training, so that we can provide body cams and other technology and equipment. We need to increase funding for law enforcement in order to improve policing, build more trust in the community, and most importantly, so that we can keep our neighborhoods safe. Cutting funding, reducing resources, reducing the number of police officers, reducing training and the quality of police officers is not the answer. And I can tell you that the state of Maryland will not defund the police as long as I'm governor. Instead, we're going to refund the police. Today is the first in what will be a series of announcements regarding our initiatives to do just that. Beginning today, with the investment of an additional $150 million of increased support for our police and increased crime control and victim protection services all across the state. Our refund the police efforts include an additional $45 million, a 50% increase in state police aid to local jurisdictions statewide. With vacancies rising and recruitment waning, we will provide another $50 million to fund much needed salary increases and hiring bonuses to ensure competitive compensation for all our state police agencies. Our refund the police initiative also includes $24 million to create a new accountability resources fund, which will pay for more body cams, more de-escalation training, and other critical tools for state and local police agencies. An additional $1 million will go directly to the Maryland Chiefs and Sheriffs Associations to help them further expand operational training and support. We will provide an additional $10 million in neighborhood safety grants to be distributed through the DHCD Main Street Maryland program to support hardware upgrades, lighting, cameras, and increased security services for community organizations, business districts, main streets, and neighborhoods all across Maryland. Today, we're also launching a new plan which will provide a 100% state-funded match for all Crime Stoppers rewards in order to further incentivize more witnesses to come forward and offer testimony so that more violent criminals are actually convicted and taken off our streets. Our administration has worked tirelessly to empower victims, to give them the resources that they need to be safe and self-sufficient, and to help break the cycle of victimization. Congress is doing just the opposite. They just slashed the Victims of Crimes Act, drastically cutting victim service providers by 40%. These are absolutely vital resources for some of our most vulnerable, including the victims of sexual assault and domestic abuse. This action by Congress would force these incredible and important programs to lay off their workers and in some cases even shut down their operations. That is not going to happen in Maryland, because I'm announcing today that we will provide an additional $14 million in funding to make up for this defunding of victims by the Congress. This investment will allow us to fully fund all of the eligible funding requests that we have received from every victim services provider across the entire state. The Maryland General Assembly also brazenly defunded state services for victims, including reimbursements for the costs of sexual assault exams. And they cut an important program that shields the addresses of victims of domestic violence and human trafficking so that abusers cannot locate them. Today, we are providing $6 million to restore the funding for this and other critical programs, which were recklessly defunded by the legislature. Our $150 million Refund the Police initiative will provide a desperately needed shot in the arm to our state and local police agencies and their critical efforts to stop crime. But there is far more work to be done. In addition to investing more in law enforcement, we also need the legislature to finally agree to pass tougher laws that hold violent criminals more accountable. We need prosecutors who will actually prosecute criminals, and we need judges who are more accountable for the sentencing they give to repeat violent felons. In the coming weeks, I will be announcing additional proposals, including legislation, to support all of these crime-fighting initiatives. Every day, Everywhere that I go, I make it a point to stop and shake the hand of every single law enforcement officer and first responder that I ever see, to personally and sincerely thank them for their service. I've shared tears and hugs and prayers with the grieving families of our fallen heroes and assured them that their loved ones would never be forgotten. For 7 years now, our administration has strongly supported our police with public safety initiatives to help law enforcement officers do their jobs more effectively and to help keep our Maryland citizens safe. Not a day goes by that I'm not grateful for their service, and I want every single one of them to know, especially in today's environment, when far too often our law enforcement officers are unfairly criticized and don't get the appreciation that they deserve, that you will continue to have the full support of your governor, that I will continue to have your back and proudly stand with each and every one of you. Thank you. With that, I'd be happy to take some questions.
Governor, months ago, you met with Scott Harrison from Baltimore City. I'm sure some plans and new procedures were discussed. Is there anything following on that, or what have you heard since then?
I mean, I think those are questions you should probably direct to the mayor. I haven't seen a whole lot of progress, quite frankly. We haven't seen progress in the statistics of what's happening in Baltimore City. I just don't think people are taking it as seriously as they should be. But hopefully some of these efforts will help that problem.
Governor, you did see Baltimore City, and I wanted to know if you have a breakdown of how much of that $45 million aid to our jurisdictions could go to the city, or is there a formula that the city...
It's going to be a pro rata amount, so it's the fifth largest jurisdiction, and whatever based on population is how much money that they'll receive. Anybody else? Some of it will be done right away, and some of the victims stuff that we have to replace the money that's taken away from Congress before they shut their doors. Some of it will be able to fund fairly quickly. Some of it has to be in our budget, which will be submitted in January. Coming from a number of different sources, which will be laid out in further detail when we submit our budget.
A couple of things. When it comes to the witnesses and also the incentives for witnesses, there's a plan in the Baltimore City that will be some city funds to be going ahead with that.
Absolutely. I mean, we've already provided serious amounts of money, particularly for Baltimore City, for both of those programs for victim services, providers all across the city and across the state. We've also provided money for things to try to encourage more witnesses to come forward. So it's great that their city is moving in that direction. Our effort would provide a 100% match for any of those dollars that any jurisdiction put up for those, I think, very effective and worthwhile programs.
And then also when it comes to
Well, as I mentioned in my remarks, that's extremely frustrating because I think, as I mentioned, the folks in this room and law enforcement officers across the state, but particularly in Baltimore City, have a really tough job already. And, when you're arresting people, but no one is ever prosecuted, it really doesn't stop the crime when they keep coming back on the street. So there's no question that the failure to prosecute crime in Baltimore City is a major problem for why we have so many repeat violent offenders shooting people on the streets of Baltimore City. I don't know that this money is going to solve the problem. I think the citizens of Baltimore are going to have to solve that problem by electing leaders that will address these issues. No CARES Act money, I don't believe, but we might utilize some of the federal funding to cover some of this if we can.
You said in the past that you really are excited about augmenting the Baltimore City Police Department by making some national guard after the state police. And the crime is steadily increasing, as you say. Are you leaning? Is that a platform you can get at all anymore?
Well, look, we've invested $1 billion in public safety in Baltimore City over 7 years. It's unprecedented, unheard of. state police have provided more assistance than ever before. All five of our state police agencies have provided additional increased support for the city. And we're going to continue to support them in every way we can. But, you know, I did declare a state of emergency and send in the National Guard once before. We sent 4,000 members of the Guard and 1,000 additional police officers, and we stopped the violence and brought peace to the city. That's not an ongoing strategy. You know, that's not what they're trained for. It's not, we don't want, you know, to declare martial law. What we'd like to do is see the city leaders step up and provide the assistance we can so that they can do something about the crime.
Governor, if I can ask you a quick question about that scene. Once it's approved for children under 12, what is the state's plan to ensure that kids get the vaccine in a timely fashion?
Thank you. On vaccines, we are we saw the news yesterday about the recommendation from the panel at FDA, CDC. We expect final approval for some of the other vaccines for not for the children yet, but for everybody else next Friday. And we'll be ready to immediately begin providing additional boosters for anybody who wants them that received J&J or Moderna or Pfizer. We've made great progress in that regard. You know, we're one of the most vaccinated states in the country. We've already done 200,000 boosters. Kids, we don't expect that approval for maybe another 2 weeks later, but we've been working for 3 or 4 months to prepare. The State Health Department has been working with the State Board of Ed and with all of our local health departments and local county schools. Operations, and I think they'll be ready to provide a booster shot to every child that wants one.
Last question, Governor.
Governor Brandt was supposed to have his first appointment
next week. I wonder if you can sort of respond to some of the press
conference, criticize you, saying that his charges are reflective of your judgment in
assignment.
No, I don't have any
comment about that.
Governor, when was the funding really You said it will be introduced as part of the budget.
We'll be talking with them between now and January, trying to convince them that these are the right things to invest in. Yeah. Thank you.